Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all. Just want to remind you one prayer request that I forgot to share. We've been praying for Alan Woodley. And Alan Woodley and EJ, they were very active while they were here. And then EJ now go by Pastor Jill. She serves a church in Idaho as a local pastor, and Alon is in hospice care now. So please remember Alon and Pastor Jill in your prayers. I pray that we will have encounter with the Holy Spirit in many different ways. As you have experienced over the years, God talk to us, God speak to, communicate with us in many different ways. And one of the ways that God talked to us is through the message that we hear on Sunday morning. And I don't take the, you know, sharing the message very lightly. I spend a lot of prayers, I spend a lot of meditations, and try to find out what it is that God wants me to deliver to you on Sunday morning. And I again pray that you and I will hear the messages that God has prepared for all of us this morning. It was Christmas, and the judge was in a benevolent mood as he questioned the defendant. "What exactly is it you are charged with?" he asked. "Doing my Christmas shopping early," replied the defendant. "That's not an offense," said the judge. "How early were you doing this shopping?"
"Before the store opened."
Before a high-profile trial, the long process of jury selection took place. On this occasion, it was particularly protracted as both sides repeatedly objected to potential jurors on the ground that they had probably made up their mind about the case after reading sensational pretrial stories in the newspapers. One man was called forward for his interrogation. "Are you a property owner?" asked the judge.
"Yes, I am, Your Honor."
"Married or single?"
"Married for 27 years, Your Honor."
Then the judge said, "Formed or expressed an opinion?"
The man replied, "Not in 27 years, Your Honor."
Everyone is entitled to their opinions in democratic countries, but it does not mean that everyone's opinions align with the truth. You know, I have a daughter in college. You know, her name is Esther. She has gone through many changes and has developed her own opinion as well. As most girls would, she cares about her appearance very much and is always mindful of what she eats. Conversation between Becky, my wife, and Esther go like this sometimes. When Becky noticed that she eats less than usual, she said, "Esther, you'd better eat. You are still growing up." Esther goes, "Mom, can't you see? I am on a diet." Esther misses home food while on campus, and when she comes back home from college, she eats more than usual. Becky notices it and says, "I thought you were on a diet." And Esther's response was, "What do you think, Mom? I still need to grow." Would a different measure be applied to a different situation? Then how do we know the truth? If the truth changes according to circumstances, It seems hard to know the truth, but it is not. Think about it. What is truth? Was the question that the Pontius Pilate asked in front of Jesus. You know, Jesus was the embodiment of the truth, and Pontius was asking, what is truth? How foolish of him it was to ask question to Jesus. Truth is not far from us. It is very close so that everyone may know it, as Jesus is very clear so that everyone may get to know him and have a personal relationship with him. But people do not always find Jesus and his truth for some reasons. And let me share with you some of the hindrances to the truth in the light of the digital age in which we live today. Computer and information technology, the World Wide Web, and now artificial intelligence have changed how we live. People do not have to go to bank as much as they used to. They do shopping online, which saves time and money. During the pandemic, online school helped students continue their education, and online textbooks were like a lifeline. I served the East District Union as president. Many of the board members used to spend the whole day traveling and attending meetings, but now only several hours on Zoom since the pandemic began. Some research has become so convenient. Instead of going through a series of experiments and collecting data, they now run computer simulations to produce quick, accurate, and cost-saving result, and it was how COVID vaccine was developed so fast. Many of you have heard of a new program called ChatGPT, or the Chat Generative Pre-trained Transformer. It is an artificial intelligence technology that chats, interacts with users, and generates answers for them by combining data and information. It can write research papers or even a very advanced thesis in no time. It can draw pictures, compose music, and write computer programs. A report says that the usage of the program has fallen since the summer vacation started, a possible indication that many college students already use it for class requirement. It has already passed the bar exam and demonstrated 40% accuracy of diagnosis on complex medical cases. A prediction says that it could replace a lot of jobs, including lawyers and doctors. But there are problems with ChatGPT. It uses available information online, not necessarily proven facts. What it produces could be wrong and biased, even if it sounds extraordinary and plausible. Think about the convenience, though. Everyone who owns a cell phone or computer can utilize the program to have a personal secretary. I mean, I thought about it. When I prepared a sermon this Sunday, I have a lot of illustration that I have in mind. And it's hard to find the illustration. And I can tell the program to draw a picture, and it'll just draw a picture in no time. I mean, how easy is that? I spent a lot of time finding a good joke that goes along with the message. I mean, I collected probably more than 20 or 30 joke books, and I spent a lot of time reading through it to find the right one. I can tell the ChatGPT and say, find the joke that goes along with this kind of message, and then it'll find in no time, right? but it presents dangers, for it does not have a moral standard, and now they officially use the term hallucination. It hallucinate. This digital age is inundated with information that is useful, but not all of them are true. Is this a phenomenon happening only today? The fake news was there from the beginning. God created the Garden of Eden and said to Adam and Eve, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Satan cleverly twisted God's word and said, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Satan changed one forbidden tree to all the trees in the garden and phrased the question as if God really said that they must not eat from any tree. Satan's lie sounded logical, probable, and persuasive to the first humans, just like ChatGPT produces artificial truth today. It happened during the early churches as well. The Apostle Paul wrote about it in his letter to Galatians. He said at the beginning of Galatians, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ." And now note how strong his words were. "But if we were an angel from heaven, should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse." A very, very serious letter. Now, misinformation is false or inaccurate information. Disinformation is false information deliberately intended to mislead. A different gospel that Paul was talking about was a combination of misinformation and disinformation. Why did the Galatians quickly turn to a different gospel? The gospel lesson this morning that we read gives an answer. We are familiar with the word of Jesus. You know the truth and the truth will set you free, right? We are very familiar with that. But have you noticed what Jesus said before that sentence? It's the precondition. It's got to go together. Jesus said, "If you hold," in our translation it says, "if you continue in my teaching, you are my disciples. Then you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free." This continue in Greek word is emmeno, right? It means to continue, to hold fast, to be true to, abide by. It means if you do not hold fast to my teaching, you are not my disciple, then you will not know the truth, then of course you will not be set free. Christians in Galatia did not hold fast to the gospel they first heard and turn to a different gospel. As it happened to Galatian churches, a different gospel in the name of many branches of theologies is taught in churches today. We need to be aware of that. Along with them came interpretations of misinformation and disinformation. If we do not hold fast and remain true to the Bible and what is written in there, we will be like Galatians and we will be persuaded by a different gospel. Now, one thing that interesting about the gospel lesson this morning is that, you know, you notice that it's a conversation between the Jews and Jesus, right? The conversation was not exactly going smoothly. But note here, interestingly, they were not just ordinary Jews. They were Jewish believers. The believers in Jesus. And, you know, you have a conversation with the Christians and you expect that they would be more receptive, or they are openly receptive to the gospel and to the truth in the Bible, right? And that's what Jesus would have expected from them, from these Jewish believers. But they were in a collision course with Jesus. They insisted on what they believe. And that what they believe, according to what Jesus said to them, was a misinformation. They welcomed their traditions and teachings with open arms, but were close-minded to what Jesus had to say. What was it? The truth. They were close-minded to the truth. Being open-minded can do both good and harm, depending on what we are open to. Are we open-minded to the gospel of Jesus or a different gospel? To the truth or the pseudo or fake truth? To the truth that agrees with the biblical teachings or to one that denies the scriptural authority? Truth sets us free. Fake truth enslaves us. And again, many different interpretations in this day and age can confuse us and get us lost. Inundation of information today works like cloud, and we are flying through it. I was once in a plane that flew through a heavy cloud. I thought that the plane would come out of it soon, as you may have experienced it, right? But on this particular flight, this plane was flying through the cloud, heavy cloud, and I could not see anything else, not the sky, not the land, anything else but the cloud for over an hour. I mean, think about it. I was terrified. And I began to wonder how the pilot could keep the plane in course when they could not see the horizon. They wouldn't feel the turn of the plane. They would not know if the plane flew low or high. Relying on their instinct and years of experience would not be a help at all in that condition. Pilot William Renswish said, "Instinct is worse than useless in the cloud." The sky was covered with cloud almost close to the airport, and the pilot did not speak to the passengers about the weather condition at all. Regardless, the plane landed safely at the airport, and no one asked about how the pilot flew the plane in a heavy cloud. Why? They didn't need to ask. They knew that the pilot had relied on instrument in the cockpit. The Bible, the biblical truth, works as our primary flight instrument to navigate in the cloudy circumstances. I mean, we are going through a lot of cloudy environment. And particularly true in this day and age. When and where finding biblical Christianity has become more difficult. You know, just one example is the Korean churches. When I was growing up in Korea, and the Korean churches, they just got the transplant of the gospel when the revival was going on, the camp revival and all that great awakening was happening in the United States, and so many American missionaries came to Korea and transplanted them, meaning that they took the gospel as it is in here and planted them there. So they received the gospel close to what the Bible says, and they have kept the message. And I felt the fervor to the gospel message, the fervor to serve God. And I, even though I have left, 30 years ago, I don't feel like that. I see what I saw when I was growing up. The time is changing, and we live in a time and place when and where finding biblical Christianity has become more difficult. And look at all the churches in Europe. There used to be more number of Christians in Europe, twice more than numbers of all the Christians in the rest part of the world, in Europe. But that's not the case anymore. And I would say, partly, one of the reasons is because of the inundation of information. The flood of information can confuse us and easily sweep us away. Our current life circumstances may be similar to flying through the cloud as well. Think about your life, where you are in life. Do you feel like that you are surrounded with a dark cloud and you cannot see where you are, where you're going? You have a troubling question and people around you say all different kinds of things, give you different kinds of advices, and you don't know what to listen to. If that's the case, remember what the gospel says. We need to hold fast to the truth. The Word of God, the truth of Jesus, is our navigator in this cloudy weather. Amen.